1954 is a time after some years past World War II. England was rebuilding, and people were looking for hope, looking for something to grab onto, looking for something that said that we can move on, we can get better, that there's something better about humanity than war and destruction. So 1954, something pretty exciting happened. I'll get to in a moment. It's a time when people were wanting to know that people could accomplish something good as opposed to something bad in the destruction of war. There's a runner named Roger Bannister who believed he could accomplish something. There's a perceived limit to how fast people could run at that time. People believed that 4 minutes was the fastest any human could run 1 mile, that no one could run any faster than a 4 minute mile. Well, Roger Bannister is one who believed differently. He believed he could do it. So he began training and working hard. He watched what he ate, practiced around his school schedule, and he ran. Well, one day came when he felt that he was ready to break the 4 minute barrier. And go ahead and bring up the picture here. So one day he was, went to the track, and they were ready to time him. He believed he could do it that day. But he looked across the way, and the wind was too strong. And he thought, today's not the day. It's too windy. There were some things beyond his control that he couldn't really change the wind. But he could change his training. He is trained, ready for it. But he couldn't control the wind. Well, as they're talking about whether they should run or not, he suddenly looked across the street, and you see over his shoulder, you see a church in the background. And on top of that church, there's a flag. And that flag was blowing pretty strongly in the wind, and suddenly it just dropped, and the wind became still. And he turned and said, let's do this. I can do it. He had an expectation that he could break the 4 minute barrier in the mile that day. All his training came into this. The conditions were right, and he was ready. So he did it. He set out, he ran, and they timed him. He came across that finish line. You can see giving every bit of effort that he had, nothing left as he fell into his coach's arms after crossing that line. In the time of 3 minutes, 59 seconds, and 4/10 of a second. 0.6 of a second. Under the 4 minute barrier. He did it that day. I love this picture in particular because that church across the street is where we went to church when we were in England 6 years ago, and we stayed in the apartment right behind that church. And if you see his hand kind of reaching out, his right hand, if you look right above his right hand, that face that you see is the dad of my aunt. And I have to say aunt because she's British and she's my aunt, not my aunt. That is her dad. So some connections with history that I love. I grew up running, and for me it wasn't the 4 minute barrier but the 5 minute barrier that was a far reach for me because I was not that very fast in the mile. Expectations. Roger Bannister had an expectation that he would break that 4 minute barrier that day. If he did not have that expectation, I'm quite certain it would not have happened. But he lived with an expectation that it could be done, and it could happen. You can take that picture down now. We have expectations for everything, don't we? Expectations really fill our lives in so many different ways. As the kids go back to school, they'll have expectations of that first day of school. They'll begin imagining, what will my teacher be like? Who's going to be in my class? They'll have expectations of seeing friends again and starting back into the school year as that begins. There are expectations the first day on a new job. Expectations of career paths. Expectations of relationships, friendships, marriage, family. We have expectations that if we go to a theater and pay our money, that when we sit down, we're going to watch a movie. They're going to show us a movie of our choice. We have expectations for others, expectations for politicians. That's all I'm saying. We have expectations for people in other roles. Sometimes these expectations get met, don't they? Sometimes when we expect things, we see that they're met, and we're very pleased with that. Other times there are situations where our expectations get exceeded in some way, that the situation goes far beyond our expectations, and we are surprised at how wonderful that is. Sometimes we are left disappointed. Our expectations go unmet, and we feel the pain of that when we had expected something that did not happen. Life is full of expectations. Many of you have been working in the garden across the street, Feeding Hope Garden, and appreciate the hard work that you've been doing to produce good produce to give away to those in need. And we see the fruit of your labor coming up from the ground. The hard work has paid off, and we see some very healthy-looking fruit vegetables over there growing. And we know that some, because of things outside of our control, the weather, the rain, some of the plants didn't make it, but others did. And that hard work is paying off. There are expectations that when we take this little, I have it in a plastic bag so I wouldn't lose it, a little tiny seed like this that you can't even probably see from where you're sitting. I have expectations that when I put this little seed in the ground, something's going to grow. I know that this is an apple seed specifically, so I have expectations that when I put this apple seed in the ground, a tree is going to form. That tree is going to grow, and eventually it's going to produce a whole bunch of these. And this fall, that's something I look forward to in the autumn time, is going to the apple orchard, picking fresh apples and eating them. Apple cider and all that fun stuff. Expectations that this is going to grow. Now, there are things beyond my control. I cannot control at the cellular level what happens within the seed. I can't control how the different cells will form the different parts of the plant. Some will differentiate into roots. Others differentiate into stems and branches, leaves, flowers that eventually will produce the wonderful fruit. Those are things beyond my control. But yet, I know that if there are things that I do to help in this process, for instance, when I plant it, if I water it, if as it grows, I put a little fence around it to protect it from the rabbits and deer and other animals that might get to it. If as it grows, I prune the tree and take care of it, I know that the yield of fruit will be much greater. I have expectations for the seed, but I know that when I participate in this process, that my expectations can increase and perhaps even be exceeded by what this tree, what this little seed will one day produce. Expectations. I want you to think this morning about our expectations of God. What do you expect from God? What do you expect of God? Do you expect Him to show up at different times in your life? Do you expect Him to take an active role in your life? Or do you picture Him as somewhere far off that, you know, maybe He's not too involved in my life? He's somewhere out there, yeah, but I don't really expect much. Do you expect Him to lead you through life's decisions? Or do you feel like you have to do it all on your own? Do you expect Him to work your life into a greater plan? Or is it just this kind of mediocre existence that we do what we need to get through? I'm afraid that with God, we too often lower our expectations. We expect that He might get us out of a few messes that we put ourselves in. Maybe He might answer a few of our prayers. Maybe He'll help me cope with a couple of tough situations. And maybe He'll help me get through this life without too many difficulties. We reduce down our expectations of what we think God can do to just a few things to kind of get us through, just to maintain and get by. When we read the words of the Apostle Paul, however, we see someone who lived with great expectations. He had expectations that God truly would show up. He had expectations that this world can be different. He had expectations that that our lives can be changed. We turn in the book of Colossians, we see some of Paul's high expectations right away in the beginnings of the book of Colossians. I'll invite you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, found in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul to the group of Christians living in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, if that helps you locate it. I'll read verses 3 through 14, Colossians 1, 3 through 14. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. We've done this since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. You have this faith and love because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You previously heard about this hope through the true message, the good news, which has come to you. This message has been bearing fruit and growing among you since the day you heard and truly understood God's grace. In the same way that it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, you learned it from Epaphras, who is the fellow slave we love and Christ's faithful minister for your sake. He informed us of your love in the Spirit. Because of this, since the day we heard about you, we haven't stopped praying for you and asking for you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We're praying this so that you can live lives that are worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him in every way, by producing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened through His glorious might, so that you endure everything and have patience, and by giving thanks with joy to the Father. He made it so you could take part in the inheritance, in light granted to God's holy people. He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son. He set us free through the Son and forgave our sins. Here we see some of Paul's expectations. Great expectations from a great God. In those first few verses that we read, we see that in verses 5 and 6 specifically, that Paul expected the truth of the good news of Jesus to do something. It wasn't just going to sit idly by, but the truth of this good news, this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ was going to accomplish something, and something great. He saw that this truth was present with the believers in Colossae. He saw that this truth, this good news, which has come to you, it was present with them. It was there working in their midst. Not just there present with them, but it was continually with them and working. This is something beyond the control of the people, that this good news, this message was going forth with such a force that no one could control it. These are the verb choices that Paul used there to express this. He shows that this is something that is happening beyond their control. This good news is working. Paul had an expectation that this truth of the good news of Jesus would make a difference in this whole world. The word he uses is cosmos. This good news of Jesus Christ would make a difference and transform this entire universe. The existence as we know it, the world as we know it, would be changed by this good news. Not just for someday, but it was actually making a difference right in front of his very eyes, and he was observing it. And he records that in these passages. Paul expected that the good news of Jesus, like this apple seed that I held up, would grow and produce fruit, not just in a few individuals, but throughout the entire cosmos. That this little seed, this little kernel, would one day grow, produce fruit. And not only one day, but it was actually happening right there and then, and he saw it happening in the lives of the people around him. Paul saw that the good news of Jesus was growing and bearing fruit in the Colossians and throughout the world during his lifetime, and he knew with great expectation that it would continually grow and produce fruit well on in the future. And now, nearly 2,000 years later, we see that this little seed, this good news of Jesus Christ, is bearing fruit and growing even today throughout the world. When I look at Paul's expectation, this faith and this trust that God's good news is going to accomplish something great, I have to ask that question about us. What about us? Do we live with such expectation? Do we know, do we trust, do we believe, do we expect that the good news of Jesus Christ is spreading throughout the world beyond our power and making a difference? Do we know, do we trust, do we believe, and do we expect that this good news will bear fruit, will bear great fruit, when we take an active participation along with this truth? It's interesting the wording that Paul uses here. He talks about this growth being in this passive sense. This growth is taking place because it's something that only God can do, and God brings this growth about. However, the bearing of fruit, Paul uses a verb choice there that captures this mutual participation between the people and God. In other words, just like this apple seed is going to grow on its own. There are things beyond my control that it's going to happen because of the way God has designed it, and just right down to the DNA level, there are things that are going to happen that I cannot control. However, for this apple seed to produce great fruit, it works better when I take an active participation in it, when I water it, when I tend to it, when I care for it, when I prune the eventual tree. Something will be different. And that is exactly how Paul uses the terms for growth and bearing fruit here regarding the good news of Jesus Christ. It's going to grow. It's going to go forward. It's going to happen on its own, whether you and I are a part of it or not. However, it bears its greatest fruit when you and I do take an active participation in this. The Apostle Paul had this great expectation that God was going to do great things through this good news of Jesus, that it was going to impact the whole world for the rest of time. And it has its greatest effect when you and I participate with it and take part in it. So you read on in verses 9 through 11, as I just read, we see that Paul believed that it was possible for the Colossians to know the will of God. Sometimes we take that for granted when we think about God's will, but yet this was something that is, if we think about it, is quite profound. The desires, the longing of God Almighty, that we can truly know that here in this life. We can have an understanding of what God's plan and desires are for us. We can know that. We can. We truly can. Paul had an expectation that this would happen for the Colossians. Not only did he believe it, but he expected that God would bring it to pass, that they would be filled with an understanding of God's will. He believed that God would bring this about. Not only did he expect that God would bring it to pass, but he participated with God by continually praying and asking that it would be so. An expectation that would be even more so if he participated. So again, with the wording choice that Paul uses, the wording that he uses for praying and asking, he talks about this mutual participation with God. That as he's participating with God, he is trusting and expecting that God is going to bring this about as he continues to pray and ask and connect with God and take part in this growing good news of Jesus Christ. Paul had a high expectation that the people could have lives beyond mediocrity. He expected them to live lives worthy of the Lord, live lives continually walking in the state that is worthy of the Lord. He expected that the people could live lives pleasing to God. He expected that the people could live lives of good works. He believed that and expected that the people would live lives that were continually bearing fruit. He expected and believed that the people would live lives that are continually growing in understanding of God. He believed and expected that the people would live lives full of the supernatural God-given power. Paul expected great things from a great God. Again, I have to ask, but what about us today? Do we expect such an existence for our lives? Do we expect that we can know the will of God? Do we expect that our lives can be filled with good works? Do we expect that we can continually bear fruit for the glory of God? Do we expect that we can be in a growing relationship with Almighty God and having an understanding of who God is and truly knowing Him and understanding Him? Do we expect such an existence for our lives? Or do we settle for a mediocre existence? This third part of this passage that we read, verses 12 through 14, we can see the extent of Paul's expectations. When we participate in God's rescue of us, at some point he will transfer us into God's kingdom. The change is so drastic that it is the difference between light and dark, good and evil, saint and sinner. This drastic, radical transformation of life change, that when we participate with God rescuing us, then somehow he beyond our control transfers us into this new kingdom, this new existence, this new way of life that is so far different, that is the difference between night and day, darkness and light, good and evil, saint and sinner. A radical transformation that Paul believed and not only believed but expected to happen in this participation with God. Paul expected this, that this is not something for which we need to wait. Rather, it can be realized right here and now. An expectation not of things to come, but of an expectation that right now our lives would be made different. We can live in this redemption right now. Our sins can be cast off from us right now. That is the wording that Paul uses here. Right now, right here, in this present state, this can happen for us. But again, I have to ask, what about us? What about me? Do I expect God to bring about such a radical change for my life? Are we hoping that one day the truth of the good news of Jesus might grow a little in us? Or are we expecting a work of God so deep, so powerful, so amazing that our lives are radically transformed right here and right now? Do we believe it? Do we expect it? Roger Bannister expected something great that day. He expected that he would break a barrier that was once before thought impossible. And he did it. Now, sometimes our human expectations do fall short. Sometimes our expectations get unmet, don't they? Sometimes we do face the disappointment of a goal unreached. But when we don't expect, when we don't try, we never will meet that. And when we think of a loving, almighty, and all-powerful God who cares deeply about us, we can live with great expectations that will never be let down. Expectations based on these promises. Expectations based on a long history. I trust that this seed will produce a tree that will produce apples, because there's a long history of apple seeds producing trees that produce apples. It's been well observed, well recorded, well documented, well practiced, and this continues on day after day. In Scripture, we see countless examples from history of how God has worked and God has done that which has exceeded the expectations of the people. Many of us sitting here today have experienced that in our own lives, haven't we? We've expected, we've trusted, and we've seen God do some pretty incredible things. Sometimes even those moments when we've doubted and we haven't expected, God somehow showed up and did something amazing for us that transformed our very existence. And that's why many of us are here today, isn't it? Because God showed up some way. Are we expecting God to do this deep work? Are we expecting that maybe that little nugget of faith that we might have, that little working of God that we've seen in our lives at some point, do we expect that that will one day bear fruit as we participate with that work? I'm going to invite us, as we're winding down here, to spend a moment in prayer. Maybe there's something that a burden you've been carrying. Maybe it's just life in general. Maybe you've just kind of settled into comfort, and you're ready to expect something great again. God can do it. God is able. So whatever that burden is, whatever that prayer is, I'm going to invite you right where you're at. Just let's spend a moment of quiet, prayerful reflection. Let's trust God to do something amazing. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have limited you, those times that we haven't trusted, those times when we've just kind of settled into comfort and mediocrity. have mercy upon us according to your great and mighty mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would place within us a great expectation. I pray that even this week that you would show up in some wonderful ways, that we would see very clearly how you are working in our midst, that we will know that you are with us. I pray, Lord, that the truth of this good news would continue to grow and bear fruit in all of us here today. I pray that you would produce the growth that only you can bring, the things that go beyond our efforts. And Lord, I pray that you would give us courage, strength, discipline to do our part, to participate with the work that you're doing so that we can see our lives bearing the most fruit. Help us, Lord, to spend time daily in your scriptures so that we understand the message you have for us. Help us, Lord, to connect with you in prayer. Help us to spend time with others and encouraging one another, building each other up and praying for each other. Help us, Lord, to be people who expect great things from a great God. Bless us in our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods. May we be a part of what you are doing. Lord, I also pray that you would give us opportunities this week to be a part of your good news being spread throughout the world. Lord, I pray as Andy goes on his mission trip that your good news would continue to spread throughout Zambia. I pray for each of us as we go to, for those going to camp, to those who are continuing a regular work day, work week, for those going on vacation, for those spending time at home, pray that you give us opportunities to show love, to tell of your good news. May we expect you to do great things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and please receive this blessing. Go now and live lives worthy of the Lord. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and bear fruit in every good work, putting love and mercy into action for others, just as you would for yourselves. And may God's glorious power make you strong. May Christ Jesus fill you with wisdom and understanding, and may the Holy Spirit prepare you for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Amen. You are dismissed.